Is there anything that you would trade for the Lord? Don't answer that question yet. Just hold it in your mind. Peter was sure that he would not trade anything for the Lord. The apostle even argued with the Lord that he would not trade anything. He even stated that he would be imprisoned or even die for Jesus. Peter boasted that he would do these things even if all others forsook the Lord. In his zeal, Peter promised that he loved the Lord more than anyone else. And if you remember, we talked a little bit about this last Sunday night. Now, there is nothing wrong with stating our loyalty and especially our love for Christ. In fact, we cannot be saved without it. But our words, of course, must be true without exalting ourselves above another person. God, I love you better than he does, sort of thing. It is hard to know all the thoughts and feelings that the apostles, especially Peter, experienced after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and after they all turned from the Lord, especially after Peter denied the Lord. For 3.5 years, their lives were at an intensity that we can only imagine. And suddenly it comes crashing to an end as the apostles watch their beloved teacher brutally murdered. But then he was alive again. What was going on? What were they to think? What were they supposed to do? Was it all over? Should they just go back to their old ways, their old occupations? Well, this is where we find them in John 21. So open up your scriptures now to John chapter 21. And I want us to take a look at something that happened here. Because these men, who would soon change the world, go fishing. First of all, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. These men witnessed Jesus restore limbs, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. They saw him heal every disease and raise the dead. For 3.5 years, they heard words like no man had ever spoken before. All the while, Jesus was training them to be teachers. Then he is gone for a little while, and they don't know what to do. Except, like many men decide to do, they think, let's go fishing. Now, what is it about fishing? About throwing a hook and line into the water? That these men who have been trained for a long time to do something don't know what to do. They don't know any of the things that they should be picking up that Jesus has left off. But they decide to go fishing. What is it about that? Interesting. These men are adrift. Let's look now at verses 4 through 6. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now, brethren, you know that Jesus always did something for a spiritual reason. For example, when he gave the parable of the sower, remember he talked about a sower who went forth sowing and he cast seed? And he tells us about the four different kinds of soil that the seed landed upon and how the seed grew. The apostles knew that Jesus was not giving a gardening or farming lesson because he really didn't reveal anything new in that regard that they didn't already know. That's why after he gave the parable of the sower, they asked him, what does this mean? And I think that same kind of thing is going on here. Here he is helping the apostles with something to eat in their old business. Jesus, this is Jesus who is both Lord of heaven and the creator of DNA. But he can ask his disciples, if they're hungry, speaking at least my language, instead of talking about starboard or port side, I've had people tell me which one is which there, and I never can get that down straight. And he says, on the right side of the boat, and I understand that. And he's dealing with things that, you know, he makes them do the work. I understand that. He can be so common and so low for them. They immediately do what he says because they've been with Jesus. Of course, they don't know that this is Jesus at this point, but they've been with him for 3.5 years. They've come to know him. They've been drawn to him. They love him. And they understand immediate, unflinching obedience. So they're still on that train of mind, and so they do it. This man says, throw the net on the right side of the boat, so they do it. And I think it's interesting that in just a few moments, when Jesus is finished with Peter, Peter will be a man who is, well, he's just not the same. And the world, after what happens here, will never be the same again. Now look at verses 7 through 9. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, or 100 yards of football field, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Think of what the Lord has done. Because he is going to ask Peter a question that will penetrate the apostle's soul as perhaps no other question ever has before. Peter has been a loyal and devoted friend. But when the Lord needed Peter the most, he was not there. In fact, he was busy denying the Lord 3 times. And so, what does the Lord do? The Lord tends to Peter's needs. Jesus is going to ask Peter about his love, but the Lord never says that he loves Peter. Because he doesn't have to say it. Peter has to say it after all that has transpired. Not because the Lord needs to know it as though he doesn't know it, but I think this is all for Peter's sake. We continue now looking at verses 10 through 13. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them. and likewise the fish. We may not know everything that these men were thinking, but we do know that they were thinking about who just made them breakfast. Moreover, he serves it to them. Now think on those things for a while. The scriptures, of course, focus on Peter's promises of loyalty, but all of the disciples promised him loyalty. And every single one of them failed him. And what does he do? He helps them fish. He cooks them breakfast. And then he serves it to them. I find this to be utterly amazing and fascinating. What is going on here? Look at verse 14. John writes, "This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Well, Jesus is convincing them that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is demonstrating for them unconquerable love. He is modeling for them humility. And it must have worked. Because here we are, over 1900 years later, in a different culture, speaking a language that was unknown to them, living in a land that they probably did not even know existed. And we are believing the things that they have written down. How did the words and works of Jesus Christ become known to the people of Grants Pass, Oregon? It started with these men to whom Jesus fed breakfast and to whom he is about to ask one of them a soul-searching question. Now, let's look at that question. And I'm only going to go as far as verse 15. I'm not going to look at the rest of the chapter. Are you ready for this question? Let's look now at what Jesus says here. Verse 15. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" Have you noticed how, like, you can take a drink of water and throw out the rest that we don't drink without much thought, how sometimes we can just let the words "I love you" fall from our lips in the same manner, really not giving much thought to it? When someone looks in you in the eye, someone who has loved you deeply, who has just shown it with incredible acts of love, and he asks you, "Do you love me?" The guilt can really flood the soul. You have to answer truthfully. Take all those factors into consideration with Peter and the Lord, and then add this element. Peter knows that the Lord knows just how truthful his answer is going to be. That's why he responds in the way that he does. "You know, Lord, you know." And he carries that thought through the rest of the discussion that they have. It was Peter who said he was going fishing, which was his old occupation. Peter had no idea what was about to happen to him, what was about to happen to the world, and the influence and the impact he was going to have. If so, he may not have gone fishing. But then again, what would you have done? If I had been there, I try to think to myself, what would I have done? And I really don't know. With this initial question, and again we'll only look at this one, Jesus was preparing the apostle for a life of total selflessness and humility. a life of love that Peter may not have known was in him, although he thought that it was in him before. Now, I want you to think about the man to whom Jesus directed this question. Jesus was not what we might call a lukewarm, false teaching, fallen away Christian. He's not talking to a weaker member of the church here. Of all the people, of all the nations in the world, Jesus chose Israel. And of all the Israelites, He chose 12 men to be His apostles. And of those apostles, 3 were His closest friends. And of those 3, there was one who was the undisputed leader, and that was Peter. And that was the one, the special selected man, of all the people living on the earth, that was the man who got the question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? If Jesus had asked me, Don, I have a question that I want to ask somebody. Here's the question. What person do you think I should ask this question? Now, I wouldn't have said Peter. No way. Maybe I would have said me or somebody else, but not Peter. Surely a man like that loved the Lord more than these, right? If so, why did Jesus ask the question? Was He just giving us, or me anyway, some sermon material or something? What exactly is going on here? Well, look carefully at the question again. Notice that Jesus did not ask Peter, do you love me? Although the Lord will ask that question later. But at this point, Peter's love for his master is unquestioned. It was the degree of Peter's love, or perhaps where Jesus ranked among Peter's loves, that is in question. The Lord obviously knew the state of Peter's love, but He is getting Peter to see it for himself. Earlier, Peter had boasted of his loyalty to Jesus. So where did Peter stand now? Did Peter love Jesus more than his old career? Or more than the other apostles loved Jesus? Which is kind of the way he came across before. Perhaps Jesus was just giving Peter the chance to redeem himself. Whatever was going on, the Lord gave brother Peter some things to think about. After this, he was able to think on these things for several days, and then the day of Pentecost comes, and he's a new man. He is so different. I'd encourage you to read about the first 5 chapters of the book of Acts, focusing in on Peter. Watch how he acts, and you'll see what a different man he is. And of course, the Lord wants our love. How could anyone love someone else or something else more than they love Jesus? Well, in Hosea chapter 3, there's something that goes on that I think is very interesting. You will see in Hosea chapter 3 that the Israelites loved, now get this, cakes of raisins more than they loved the Creator of the raisin. What were the Israelites thinking? I've had my wife say that to me before. Don, what were you thinking? You know, and I understand the nature of that question, and I think you probably do too, and that's what I'm trying to get across here. What were the Israelites thinking? Well, in Hosea, the book of Hosea, Hosea's wife had committed adultery, but he loved her. And so God tells Hosea to take her back, for that would be symbolic of Israel's adultery and God's love for her. And so here's what it says in verse 1 of Hosea 3. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Excuse me. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the raisins. Now, do you understand what God has just said about Israel? Hosea, even as your wife loved someone else over you, so Israel loves someone else over me. What do they love? They love these other gods and the raisin cakes of those pagans. You see, when faced with a choice between Yahweh God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who inhabits unimaginable glory, and cakes of raisins, Israel had no problem making a decision. God, Yahweh God, or cakes of raisins? Hey, we take the cakes of raisins any day. Let us also think about what choices we make, and if we ever make a choice over the Lord. Judas loved 30 pieces of silver more than he loved Jesus. What was Judas thinking? Did Judas realize that he loved these more than Jesus? Maybe he did later. But of course he didn't pursue the right course of action to seek forgiveness from the Lord. Was Jesus asking Peter if he loved Jesus more than the other apostles did? You know, if you look in commentaries on John chapter 21, they will devote so much discussion about what did Peter mean with his question, or Jesus mean with his question. Was he asking Peter, do you love me more than these, your old occupation, the fish and the things of this world, or do you love me more than these men love me? And they will devote so much time to that without ever really getting down to what the question is all about our love for Christ. I found that kind of frustrating when I looked at those different things. But I thought to myself, well, it is kind of ambiguous, and maybe it was left that way on purpose. You see, some people need to think about whether they love something else more than they love the Lord. And others need to think about how they've compared their love and devotion for God and how they've compared their own love with how somebody else loves the Lord. Well, I love him more than she does, or something of that nature. So maybe he left it unclear on purpose. We are often hard on Peter, and the Lord himself was at times harsh with Peter. But other times, he was very tender, like he is right here. How would you like for the Lord to have a personal conversation with you, saying your name and then asking you, do you love me more than these? Well, we will, each of us, have a personal encounter with him. That one-on-one time will happen at the judgment. And perhaps there the question will be asked, did you love me more than these? What will we say? I would like to encourage you right now, or during your lifetime on this earth, to answer that question now in prayer and in deed, so that you will be delighted for him to ask you that question at the judgment, and you will be delighted to give him an answer that you know that he wants to hear and that he'll know is truthful. So if you need some help in that regard, this is what the church is all about. And this is why we offer an invitation right now. When we sing this song, we want you to think about your spiritual condition before God and whether or not you need to rededicate yourself or become a Christian in the first place. We're here to serve you. But we can't know what to do until you express what your need is. Please come forward now as we stand and sing.